on the break, I noticed a lot of additional people showing up to talk about skates, and we certainly are ahead of schedule even now. So they've asked if they can have an opportunity to address the council on skates, and I think it's the right thing to do. So I'll turn back to the public. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to address the council concerning skate management, please raise your hand. Ted?
Good afternoon. Attorney John Whiteside of Mickelson Barnett in New Bedford, here representing Marta Trawling, Inc. We apologize for the late show. It was due to a number of miscommunications on the meeting time, but we're here now. The one thing that I came and wanted to address to the council was the possibility of reducing the skate wing trip limit next year from 5,000 pounds down to 5,000 pounds down to 3,500. This would allow season to be lengthened and stretch it out throughout the year so that there is a consistent product that's being delivered to the processors. They need that supply throughout the year so they can maintain a workforce, maintain their space on air freight, and the other commitments that the processors have throughout the year, that where there's this derby that happens all in one shot in a very short amount of time, and then there's a drought, it's not something that business standpoint works well for them at all. And I hope that the council would consider that as a different alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Ted?
Ted Platts, Gilnetter, Newport, Rhode Island. It's a little difficult to speak after the discussion has taken place, not having heard that. I picked up a little bit during break. It's certainly a deflating experience at this point to speak to the council on this issue. I'd like to point out a few things that trouble me and what has happened with the skate fishery. We've now been managing the skate fishery for approximately 6 months. In those 6 months, we have effectively derailed two stocks fishery, the fishery for two stocks that are fully rebuilt. We will probably determine at some point next year that the skate biomass is at an all-time high. Monkfish stock is fully rebuilt. In 6 months, the management process as we presently pursue it has derailed two perfectly healthy fisheries. The science entering the system has greatly facilitated that. We are still using 2008 data in 2010. Now, the National Marine Fisheries Service poured salt in our wound recently when they revealed to us the landings data from all the ports around the country for 2009. Which ports landed the most fish in volume, which landed the most in value. Fair amount of time and energy and resources went into calculating that data. Yet we in New England are sitting here with 2008 trawl survey data as the most recent data we have for lack of resources to calibrate between our trawl vessels. How much money do we save by getting rid of the old trawl vessel and not do 3 years of side-by-side towing? And how many millions of dollars is the New England coastal community losing because we shut down the skate fishery and effectively dismantled the monkfish fishery in southern New England? I'd like to submit that we cannot continue down this road, that we cannot manage science the way we are presently managing science. We cannot go along with national policies coming out of Washington that destroy our local communities. We need to send a message to Washington, even if it is a pointless vote, that says, no, I am not accepting your mandate that we cannot ask for emergency action, that we cannot say this is wrong. We need to change the way we're doing business, and I think that change begins with getting current science into the management system. As we had the PDT look at discard rates in the last 6 weeks since we discussed this. That is a Band-Aid for a hemorrhage. The problem is that we have too low of a total allowable landings, not that we have our discard rate at an inaccurate number, which it clearly is. I have been criticized by many fishermen for being too conservation-minded in my approach to fisheries management, for valuing the economic stability that comes with caution over the immediate fiscal gain that comes with a more aggressive management plan. So I hope you'll take it seriously when I sit here and tell you that this is not working. This is just not acceptable. And performance at these levels, this is not what people are being paid for. And we need to change this in a really big way. And I think it starts at the Science Center, and it continues right through the whole process. And I offered constructive criticisms the last time I spoke back in Newport. I will not reiterate them. I'll not take up your time with that. They're on the record. And John, I think you're going in the right direction with consolidating committees, and I think this review, this management review we have going forward is a good, healthy process. But we need to take more steps and bigger steps, and we need to do it faster. Because in 6 months of managing the skate fishery, we have dismantled two fisheries that are perfectly healthy in southern New England. And I think that is a pretty good definition of failure. Thank you.
Louis?
Thank you very much. I am a little concerned like Ted. The thing is that when I look at you guys and I see that you're always voting for the government and not for us, this troubles me a lot. We have actually, if we have the kilo per toe of 2009 is 16, 2 or 12. Well, there is no consideration about that. Why? This is the question I have. Why? And why you guys around this table doesn't say to the government, well, you have to do something. Apparently, SMAST has been doing the study and recognized that the 20,000 pounds per trip was fine and that it was not depleting the skates. So you don't listen to that either. That doesn't make any sense. You have to react and do something about it. You're destroying actually the processor. You're destroying the fishermen. And what you are going to do, like I said last time, you are going to look at you guys in between you and you will have nobody there. So I urge you to reconsider everything and to do it very fast, because if you don't do it in 2010, you have to do it in 2011, and you have to go faster. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Brian Motter, Motter Trawling in New Bedford. Just want to reiterate what John said and just spell out how important it is for people to understand who are sitting at this table, the continuity of supply. When we're asking for 3,500, less than the 5,000, we're running a business. We employ people. People rely on our product 52 weeks a year. Dogfish has become a seasonal business, and it's very difficult to regain that market share. People count on skate 52 weeks a year. Without that supply, whether it's 20,000 pounds a trip or 3,500, there has to be a number out there that the conservationists are satisfied with. But we also have to understand we are running a business, and the only way we could run a business is to have the fuel, which is the fish, the put through the plant. Recently, I had to lay off a tremendous amount of people because of the way the skate industry is. If it continues to be just a derby-style fishery, we really and truly are going to have an impossible time having people who actually work on the processing side. So We're not arguing with any more species. If the TAL is what it is, it is what it is. But let's make it workable and practical so people who sell the fish, not harvest the fish, that sell the fish and process the fish could earn a living also. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Bill McCann, commercial fisherman, Gillnetter. I also target the skates like Ted. And for me, we're seeing more skates than we ever have. I've been doing this for at least 4 or 5 years, just targeting the skates. And my understanding is they're already fully rebuilt, and that was a 20,000 a day effort. I mean, I agree we should drop the catch limit, because 20,000, you're talking 10-cent skates or kick them over the side. But 5 to 10, and I don't understand why you don't do away, like codfish, hake, or anything else, so much a day, so much a trip, instead of just a trip limit, period. Is it purposely to kill all the small boats, you know, and figure the big boats are just going to spend the last day to target it, to try to protect them? That don't work. Small boats will work on that if they have to. They'll get in 3 hours, get their limit, you know, but the bigger boats, offshore boats, especially in wintertime, you're going 12 hours off, are not going to do it, you know. But at least if you can do a two-day limit, they can make it work. But right now, I mean, we used to do 100 nets to get our limit. I can do it in 10 nets now on the 5,000 pounds. And there's so many, it's just ridiculous. You can't go out and target the monkfish, like Ted said, because you get so many skates, all the monks just fly, go right by, because the net's all twisted up from the skates. So you're killing that industry. Well, not to mention, we're killing all these skates and just throwing them over, feeding the crabs. Because basically, you got to kill them to get them out of the nets, because they're so strong, you know, in a gill net. You know, so you're talking a lot of waste for no reason. Thank you.
Bill, anybody else? Charlie?
Yeah, my name is Charlie Dodge. I'm a commercial gill netter out of Chatham. Own 3 boats, employ 5 or 6 people besides myself. Sold to a lot of these people that are processing these skates. Directed skate fishery now for about 8 years. I can't understand how anyone can put a plan into action to limit the control of catching a species and you don't limit entry. You've allowed this to turn into a Klondike fishery for a bunch of people. There's people still coming into the fishery. You can still get a skate permit. This guy's fishing under state licenses with no trip limits. What you've essentially done is put the traditional fishermen that fish for these right out of business, like myself. I have 3 monkfish boats. Can't go monkfishing right now without throwing 7,000 to 10,000 pounds of skates a day over the side. Can't catch the monkfish because the nets are flattened out, just like he said. It's not a very good plan. You can't have a controlled fishery without controlling entry into the fishery like every other fishery. Can't get a codfish permit because it's limited. You can't get any other kind if you don't have history. Skate fishery is still wide open. There's states that aren't even paying attention to the catch limits that you people have set. Something's got to be done about it.
Anybody else? Okay, back to the council. Well, I don't see how we can have any impact on the TAL, the quota, in this fishery for next year. You know, we voted on priorities yesterday to set the specs, the new TALs, for 2012 and 2013. We did that yesterday. I think the only thing I've heard that's constructive, but it would require a change to priorities, is to go in and do an action in skates to change the daily limit on the wing fishery from 5,000 to some other number, which I think was 3,000 or 3,100, which is a number that came to the council through the PDT that was predicted to stretch the fishery across the calendar year, and the council chose to go with 5,000. We're now living through that decision, and so is the industry, and this is where it's brought us. You know, if you look at the graphs that the PDT presented us with, it's pretty predictable that we'll be, or the industry will be in a similar position next year, somewhere around November 1st, November 15th. So it's up to the council if it wants to prioritize changing the skate wing landing limit for next year or not. It would require a change to our priorities. And that's really the only relief I can see you can offer this fishery until we get to the spec for 2012-2013. Does anyone want to make a motion to that effect? Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. We've struggled, as you said, with this for a period of time, and I know we're going to be juggling priorities. What are we, one day we're already juggling again? I guess first question to Paul, if we were to initiate a framework to change the daily trip limit for the skate wing, how would that impact the Whiting Amendment?
Paul.
If I were king, I would take everything we just submitted and change the 5,000 to 3,100 and submit it in one, don't even come back to the council, and see if we can, or come back to the council in January and say approve it and then submit it. So, if we can resubmit what we just did, we might be able to get something in 2011. But I don't know from the council standpoint, if we're, we spent a lot of time wanting it to 5,000. Are these folks the folks that wanted it at 5,000, or are these folks the ones that didn't want it at 5,000? So if they are the ones that wanted it at 5,000, now it makes better sense to go to 3,100. I think we should do it quick as we can.
I think these folks are the ones that are living through the 5,000, whether they wanted it or not, and it's clearly not working, and I know what you can. What action do we need to, or motion do I need to make to change the spec package to 3,100, and we can move that ahead?
Andy, can you come forward, please? The skate action, or the most recent skate package, was that a spec package or a framework?
The most recent action was an amendment.
It was an amendment.
And the next action would be a specs package, which would begin in the spring of the year, preparing a safe report delivered in June, and a specs package that the council would vote on in September for application to the 2012 fishing year beginning in May.
All right, so then to answer Terry's question, I think that the only way to do it would be to actually initiate a framework to change the landing limit for skate wings.
Well, I saw a couple other hands go up, but I'd like to hear from them before.
Jimmy.
Yeah, my concern of that is I don't think 3,100 is going to get you anywhere. If, as we've heard, there's, and I think it may be true from some data, some information that I can see, that state landings and more effort is being put on by new permits into skates, by going to 3,100, you're not doing anything. The reason that has happened is that state landings and other people are putting effort on skates up to the 500 is because of the low trip limit drove the price up, so now they can make money doing it. And just by simply changing that to 3,100 doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get any further into the year. If what we heard is going on, and what I suspect is some of it is going on, is in fact true. So I think before we do anything, we need to find out somebody needs to look into some information and find out if there's been an increase in state landings, even if it's a quick look at some information, and that more permits or more, I don't know how skates work when it's not directed to with groundfish and stuff, that people are actually directing, even at the increasing their directed fisheries on skates at 500, because just by going to 3,100, I think we would be kidding ourselves that we're going to get very far, if that is going on.
So another hand, Mark Gibson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Jim. I think we need to know what the magnitude of the state waters fishery is. And Rhode Island has a federal species advisory panel that we're going to meet with this month to discuss complementary actions to federally managed species. And we currently have no regulations on skates, and it's potentially a problem. I'd like to know more about what the magnitude of this fishery is. And I'd also like to know something about what authority is in Magnuson for action to take place at the secretarial level relative to state waters fisheries that may undermine federal management programs. I think there's something in there about that.
Well, Gene, do you want to speak to preemption? While Gene's looking that up, David Gaffin.
Yeah. I think I said it the last time we were discussing skates a few minutes ago. That to me, 5,000 is too high, 500 is too low. You know, I think Paul's right. If I was king for a day, whether 3,100 is the right number or not, it would be a quick change. And you know, might at least slow down the problem. The fact is that everybody wants more fish. That's what everybody's saying in some way, shape, or means. They can come up and say it nicely, or they can come up and say, I want more fish. But the fact is we can't give them more fish. That's not going to happen. So everybody may as well just take that off the tables. But I do also think that, I mean, I've watched in the fisheries I've been serial destruction of the processing sector. It happened in dogfish. It's happened in whiting. It's happened in northern shrimp. And now it's about to happen in skates. When the fishery becomes so constricted by regulation that the amount of product falls below a certain point, the processors go out of business, and when they go out, they don't come back. No matter what, how much is there. Look at shrimp. Classic example. We were walking in shrimp last year, and for the last 3 years, and we couldn't give them away. You know, you had no trip limit, you had nothing. But it didn't matter because nobody wanted them at any price. Dogfish. They don't want them in July and June. And yet we go out and get 3,000 pounds a day, and by the middle of August, the fishery shut down before they even get the product that they want, which is in the fall. Whiting. We did it to whiting 20 years ago when we had amendment, I don't know, it was 5 or 7, and we basically shut down the ocean to whiting fishing in the northern area. Now there's no whiting processes, and whiting are virtually worthless if you bring in any amount of them. And skates are about to go the same way, because when these skate processes go out of business and their help, which is skilled help, disappears to some other country or some other part of this country, and their air freight space disappears, like bluefin tuna air freight space disappeared, you're not getting it back. So we do have to make a decision here, and I think we have to make it relatively quickly, how to make the best out of a bad situation, being jammed between a law that gives us no flexibility on one side and a hard reality on the other, that when the processes are gone, they're not coming back. So, you know, I would at least second Paul's idea of whatever the fastest way we can do to change the trip limit to 3,100 pounds for next year, and hope that that'll be good enough to get the fishery to continue throughout the year so that these processes have some stability. That would be number one. And at the same time, send a letter to the state saying, you better examine your own house here, folks, because you may be part of the problem. I don't know what the problem is in the states. It's not, you know, up our way, it's not an issue.
But, you know, I don't know if these skates extend all the way down, well into the mid-Atlantic, down to Virginia. So maybe the problem's somewhere else. I don't know. But we clearly have two issues that have been identified here today that we could take action on. And there have been other issues identified that there is no way we can take action on. So, you know, I would like to see something done anyway. I think doing something's better than sitting here doing nothing.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding state waters catch, a lot has been said about state waters catch that with a boogeyman. I suspect that's not the case. Nevertheless, I will return to my agency and we will take a look at our database regarding those individuals with permits to land ground fish skates in our waters, and we'll see what it shows. I suspect it won't show much in terms of where the problem lies. I think it's a much more insidious problem. So we'll do that, bring it forward, so the council will have a better understanding as to what's happening in Massachusetts waters.
Gene?
This is in response to the question about the federal government superseding state authority in state waters. A preliminary determination is that the fisheries engaged in predominantly within the EEZ. I don't think that's the case here. You know, it would have to be predominantly a state fishery in order to invoke 306B, which allows the federal government to come in and preempt a state's authority over a particular fishery. And if it was, if you can show that it's engaged in, you know, that it's not, I've got that backwards. Hold on just a second. I want to get something. Yeah, you have to show that it's predominantly an EEZ fishery, which I think it is. And if you do decide to do that, then you have to have what is called formal rulemaking, which is a very rare thing. It means you go before an administrative law judge, present the evidence as to why you want to come in and preempt the state, and the administrative law judge makes the decision. It's something that's very rarely done. Most of our rulemaking is called informal rulemaking. That's just putting out a notice for public comment and a proposed rule and then making a decision on final rule. So it's a very sort of awkward, cumbersome process to do it. And if there really is a problem because the states aren't doing so, I'm not sure what it is the states may be doing that's interfering with the federal management here. I mean, the fact that the states, I guess, could impose a landing limit on their state-permitted vessels that lowers the limit, but that's, you know, if the fishery is occurring predominantly in the federal fishery, those federal permitted vessels are subject to federal laws, and the fact that the state doesn't have a lower limit isn't really undermining the process. Now, if the problem occurs because there's enough fish in state waters that it's upsetting the market or driving incentives in a way that undermines the federal plan, and maybe that's another issue altogether. But so the two things to really take home on this is you've got to show that the states are somehow the language is actually are adversely affecting the carrying out of the fishery management plan, substantially and adversely affecting the carrying out of any fishery management plan by taking an action or omitting to take an action. And then you have to go through this formal rulemaking process, which I've had no experience with, and I would estimate could take a long time.
Rodney?
Yeah, I just have a question. When they said this was an open access fishery, don't you need a day at sea to prosecute skates? So it's not open access. Anybody who qualified has days at sea, so it's not just anybody can get in there, right? Pardon?
Federally permitted vessels need a day at sea, but the state boats don't. Well, There's been a suggestion that some people want to see more information before they even make a decision here, but for my recommendation for those that are sympathetic to this situation would be to decide if you want to initiate a framework today and then have a discussion about what types of information you'd like to see, and you can evaluate that at the next meeting or at the next committee meeting, you know, if that's the direction you want to go. And I would also recommend that you narrowly focus the framework to adjusting the trip limit and make it very clear today that's what you're seeking to do. So I throw that on the table. Dr. Pierce.
You just made a suggestion, Mr. Chairman. I was going to say something else that's not related to your suggested course of action, so I'm going to pass.
Do you have a better idea? Or?
No. Okay. It's about state preemption. All right. A bunch of states around this table, we're all partners in fisheries management. Therefore, talk about preemption is a bit bizarre and premature. Investigate. Information can be provided. And frankly, if indeed there was a problem with skate catch inside state waters to the point where it is causing a problem for council management, I would suggest that the assessment is very wrong and that abundance is much, much higher than what we believe it to be. So, again, I think it's a non-issue. Regarding the trip limit and a framework, I'm still at a still quite uncertain as to which way to go because of the history of discussion about what the limit should be, and you've already alluded to it in previous comments you've made. 3,500, 5,000. I've heard that the number has to be higher than 5,000 in order to for processors to really make a go of it. So I'm still uncertain, unclear as to whether or not 5,000 or 3,500, 3,500 in particular, whether that would be low enough to provide for to somehow impede the ability of processors to stay in business, make a profit. So I would not, I'm unwilling at this point in time to make a motion for a framework to reduce the trip limit because I'm not convinced that indeed it's wise to go to a lower limit, recognizing it might extend the season for a bit. I'm more hopeful that we'll find out that sector management has somehow led to a reduction in the amount of discards, and that would be one way to get to the issue of having higher amounts of available landings by just saying the discards have dropped down rather dramatically. I would hope so with sector management. Otherwise, sector management isn't working as well as I thought it would, since sector managers, sector members are supposed to do what's good for work for the greater good of the sector, and that would involve minimizing bycatcher species for which there might unnecessarily impact sector operations and profitability. But then again, sector operations are kind of a black box.
Well, that may be the case, that may not be the case, but we won't have an adjustment in the TAL for next year, which would be the focus of starting a framework right now. So, you know, to your long-standing questions about black box and behavior sectors, I imagine we'll get there at the end. And at the end of the year, we'll have an opportunity to review the annual reports from the sectors. And, of course, the Science Center will follow up with their data after the fact, after the year closes out. So we will get to the meat of the matter, Dr. Pierce. But, again, to stay focused on the concern that's been illustrated today by the people that have arrived from the audience and even from some council members, I think the only way potentially to provide relief to the fishery, and in fact more than one fishery, as Ted Platts has pointed out, would be to initiate a framework today and act quickly, focusing on the landing limit of skate wings. I'm not sure we can identify what the proper number is today. But I just suggest if we want to act quickly, we would initiate today and also task PDT with collecting information and perhaps the committee with discussing it, also providing the processors from New Bedford to weigh in on the issue and answer some of the important questions you've raised. We've heard from some of them today, but I'm sure there are others that would like to weigh in on it as well. So we're really focusing on 2011 because, as you know, we voted on priorities yesterday. We're changing the specs for 12 and 13. We'll have different data points, different data points from the surveys to help us justify different TALs for 12 and 13. So this is a very targeted, very discreet action. Dave Gable.
Yeah, just to get this discussion moving, I'll make a motion here to initiate a framework. Okay, initiate a framework to change the 2011 trip limit to maximize the length of the 2011 skate wing fishery.
Seconded by Mark Gibson. Discussion on the motion. Mike Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question. Obviously, what the whole problem is here, it's an index-based survey, and we get bad data, right? So are we going to do a framework on that bad data, or when do we get a new data point that we can change it? Because, I mean, as a fisherman, we're seeing skates everywhere, even down to 80 fathoms, where we only saw them in the shoal water before. The huge abundance of skates that weren't picked up in the survey, we have trip limits that are artificially low, so we get high discard rates, and we're reaching the tack way too quickly. Are we going to do a framework on the previous assessment, or are we going to get a new data point?
All right, just I'll ask Andy to answer that question.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to say something about this earlier. We're scheduled by June of next year to have a safe report prepared by a PDT, which addresses two key elements. One is discards in 2010, and the other is the survey calibration. We won't have the information until that time. Now, at that time, we may we'll have some information that the possession limit may be appropriate at a different level than 3,000 pounds or 3,500 pounds, but we won't know until we get to that point, and we don't have the data to do that now.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. In terms of doing things as quick as possible, I think we analyzed in the amendment maybe two or three different trip limits. Why not take that analysis we already did, package it under framework 20, and have the final meeting in January and vote on one of three trip limits, 5,000, 3,100, or whatever the other one was. So we don't need committee meetings. We don't need anything. We vote for a framework. We take the analysis already done, package it, and bring it back in January. That would be my recommendation, unless I'm not thinking of something quickly here.
You're speaking like a king. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, David, for making the motion. Paul, your thought was right along where I was about to comment. I think we've already done the analysis. We can fast track it, and it would keep this solely focused on adjusting the trip limit and without anybody wanting to add anything else to it.
Andy.
Any framework I've seen the council do has taken a considerable amount of resources and time, both at the staff level and at the regional office level, and in some cases you're calling for a committee meeting and so on. We also, at the same time here, in the same time frame that you're talking about, need to prepare ABC recommendations for the SSC meeting in February. It's becoming increasingly apparent out of the assessment that's happening in a couple of weeks that some additional work by the PDT is needed. We're also going to be scheduling Whiting Advisory Panel meetings to develop AMs during the same time period. So I don't think that the framework adjustment will have no effect, and we already have the analyses in place to make a change. In fact, we don't have the data to do it other than working on the data that we already have that we say needs to be updated to reflect more recent information coming in.
You're on the council? Sally?
I think Paul's suggestion is a good idea, and I don't know if the makers of the motion would be supportive of putting the specifics of the trip limits in there to really narrow this in on what needs to be done. What was it, 5,000, 3,100, and 800. Is that right? I mean, I want to make sure that they're right.
Paul?
Andy, do you remember the trip limits that were analyzed in the amendment?
We analyzed a very wide range of limits to enable us to adjust those limits through a specification package. The PDT had several candidates in its most recent memo. I think there was like 2,600 pounds, 3,100 pounds, and 4,500 to 5,000 pounds. There might have been one other, but I can't recall.
My recommendation would be bring everything that we've already analyzed and bring it back to the council rather than pick and choose.
Anyone else on the council? Dave Gaisel.
That's fine with me. I mean, I didn't put numbers up here because I don't have numbers to put up there. If those numbers already exist, then those, yes, I would say those should be the numbers we should look at. What we're trying to do here is do something that we can do quickly with a very minimum amount of staff time and service time and still allow the public a chance to comment on the numbers that we would put forward as to which alternative is the most likely to succeed for them.
Paul Howard.
And the other thing would be no additional information, no surveys, no landings. Just take, if you want it done as quickly as possible, take what we just did 6 months ago and implement it and just re-vote and recognize that things didn't work out like you anticipated.
Right. I mean, to me, what's important at this point is, first of all, getting something up here, and then second of all, having another meeting so that people can comment on the numbers that we have, so that they can come and tell us, all right, we like this one, we don't like that one, whatever it is. Because right now, we're just shooting blanks here. We're tossing numbers around that we really have no idea what we have. And not all the industries here today because they didn't know this was going to happen, so I don't think it would be right to put a specific set of numbers up there today and limit ourselves right now. It should be, as Paul said, what we've already analyzed, recognizing that's a range of something under 5,000 pounds so that people got some idea what we're doing here.
Anyone else in the council? Any objection to proceeding as just discussed? Okay, seeing none. Anyone in the audience? Yes, sir.
All right, about the trip limit, don't forget that this year, because the service was slow to give us the new rules, the 11th of July, the things went 20,000 pounds a trip from first of May to the 15th of July. So you have to take on consideration that. Two, I still don't understand why we cannot include in a new framework very quickly, because it's not that much work. We have the data, but we don't want to do it because it's too long and we don't have the people. And, hey, we all pay taxes here. So there is absolutely no reason to re-examine also the TAR. Thank you.
Gene, the intent would be this is the first framework meeting. January will be the final framework meeting with a cut-and-paste job of the whatever the framework is, and that would be the intent to get it done as quickly as possible. Then that decision goes to proposed rule and public comment.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this on the fly. The framework process is outlined in the skate regs.
says it has to be done over at least two council meetings. The initial meeting agenda must include notification of the impending proposal for a framework adjustment. And I know the agenda does say consider management actions. And it says, based on a reanalysis of skate discards provided by the skate plan development team. Now, is that in the mix right now?
That's good enough.
Yeah. We just consider the reanalysis of the skate discards.
That's what we're doing.
And we're considering a management action.
Right. But with respect to lowering a trip limit, is that
factor into that? We didn't limit what our considerations would be in the agenda item. We said we consider an action.
Okay. I mean, I see there is an argument there that this covers it. So let me see where we go.
Anything else from the council? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Opposed? Abstentions? Unanimous, 15-0-0. Anything else under skates? Mike Leary.
Yeah, just for the record, did we just change priorities? All right, that was a record.
That's a record.
Last year we went to the next council meeting. So maybe next year we can do priorities the last thing on the last day of the meeting.
I thought of that. All right. I guess that's it under skates. Okay, now move on to dogfish. I'll 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 move on to dogfish.